pray. I'm going to pray for the world, and I'm going to pray for revival. Okay, so Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, I just want to pray for the whole world. We come together, Lord, with one heart, one mind, and we lift up the world. And again, Lord, we do pray, Lord, for the people of Iran. And Lord God, may you pour your spirit out upon that nation, Father God. Oh, Lord God, may you bring a great revival within that land. And all through the Middle East, Father God, we just want to lift them up right now. And we want to ask that you would pour out your Holy Spirit. And that, Lord, that you would save. And we just want to thank you as we just pray for all nations. And we pray, Father God, Lord, that you would be magnified. Oh, have mercy upon us all, Father God. Lord, we stand in the gap right now. And Lord, we pray that you would have mercy and that, Lord, you would forgive us of all of our sins. Lord, we lift it up to you that, Lord God, that we, mankind of the world, that, Lord God, that we've turned away from you, that we've gone our own way, that, oh, Lord God, how we've thumbed our nose up at you, oh, Lord God. Oh, we've been so arrogant, and we've been so obstinate and so stubborn and stiff-necked, and we just come before you now, Lord God, and we're asking for the forgiveness of the Lord. We're lifting this before you right now, and we're asking, oh, Lord God, for forgiveness, Lord. And we lift that before you, O Lord God. May you pour out your spirit, O Lord God, upon all of mankind, upon the whole world. O Lord, how we need you. Have mercy upon us. And thank you for your holy love. And thank you for your wonderful goodness as we take confidence in you with all of our heart. In the name of Jesus, amen. Would you bring my Bible, Beatrice? I might need it. Kathy looked at me and said, I don't know what we were supposed to do. We're not done yet. Man, I had something boom hitting on me. And man, I just got out of my chair and come over here and left my Bible and everything. So anyway, blessed be the name of the Lord. I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, and may the Lord bless us. I sense that there's a spirit of liberty. It's already on us, a spirit of liberty and a spirit of freedom by his anointing that is moving upon the saints of God even right now. I sense that, and I feel that with all my heart. And especially, not only that, with so far how we followed after the mind of the Lord, but with this word that the Lord has put up on my heart. It's called victory over the self-life. It's called victory over the self-life. And may the Lord bless us as we go through this. And I want you to know that victory belongs to you in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes. He will break down every barrier. He'll break down every wall. He'll break down every obstacle. He will undo every power that stands against you to afflict you, to hinder you, or to stop you in all of the fullness of Almighty God. I don't care how deep the affliction might go. I want you to know that the victory belongs to you, and the power of God will come into your life in ways that you never dreamed to establish that victory. And that's what we find right here. I'm going to read this about this victory over the self-life. I'm going to start with verse 17. I'm going to start with verse 17, and I'm going to read it through to 24, and then I'll come back and break it down a little bit. Here's verse 17 of Ephesians chapter 4. This I say, therefore, and I affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk, in the futility of their mind. And then it goes on in verse 18. It says, being darkened in their understanding. And in fact, I think I'm just going to go ahead and comment as I go along. And isn't it amazing? Do you see that he's talking about the Gentiles and that they don't know God? But the warning that he's given is to us as believers, that we be careful, that we not be found walking in the same way that the Gentiles walk. What we're talking about is we're talking about saved people. We're talking about people that have come into the kingdom of God, but they don't live any different than those that are in the world. They're not experiencing any more than those that are in the world. And it's not the mind of God that we live in that way. We see it every day, don't we? You know, there's even a lot of gospel message that supports that, that there's a lot that don't think there's any more just simply past being saved. You know, and that's it. We're just going to serve the Lord. Can we get that echo out of there? Can we get that ringing out of there some way? I'd really appreciate if we could do that. Thank you very much. So, you know, we want to know that, you know, we need to go on in the Lord. We need to believe God. But if we're not careful, we can end up living our Christian life, right? We can end up living our Christian life just like the Gentiles do. You know, and I'm not going to get into that as to where that all leads, but I can truly say that it's not a good thing. It's not a good thing. And so this is the warning that we have right here. Verse 18, that being darkened in their understanding, you know, they don't understand what they have received in the Lord. They don't understand what they've received in the Lord. Excluded, look at this, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them because of the hardness of their heart. You know, in other words, according to the word of the Lord, that they have no knowledge of God. They don't have any knowledge. And the foundation of the subject right here has to do with you and I coming into the blessing of being delivered from the self-life, all right, into the old self, into the new self, as it's called here in the context, or into the new man. That's your inheritance in Jesus. It's not simply that you got saved and now you're waiting to go to heaven. And it's that you walk forward in the Lord and you inherit that salvation that's been brought to you. You know, there's a full word here for salvation, and it goes beyond just simply being born again. You know, the salvation of the Lord is the redeeming grace of Almighty God that is to come into your life and my life to sanctify us fully in body, in soul, and in spirit. And what that really, that sanctification is, what it really is the being clothed with that new self in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is your inheritance that's in the Lord. Now, let me go on with that, and we'll look at another place right here as we come on. He goes on from verse 18, and he says this, "And they, having become callous, have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness." Now, you know, he's making a comparison. You know, he's talking about this is the way that the Gentiles live and how they live in their lives. But the point is that if you're not careful, you can find yourself living the same kind of life and losing everything that God had intended for you. Now, so in that, he goes forward again and he says this, as he says in the verse 20, "But you did not learn Christ in this way." You know, that's not a matter of Bible study or Bible teaching. It's going forward in the Lord, and it's that which is being taught by the power of the Holy Spirit. Yes, teachings may be involved, or Bible study may be involved in all of that, but it's come by the power of the Holy Spirit being made known to you. It's like this morning, right now. This is what the Holy Spirit is saying to you and to me, is that we're to come out of the old self. It's our destiny to come out of the old self, and it's our destiny to inherit the new self or the new man in the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter what obstacles that you're facing. It doesn't matter what barriers that you have found that are working in your life. It doesn't matter how hard that you have tried in the past. It's got nothing to do with how hard that you have tried. It's the work of Almighty God. I want to tell you that the Holy Spirit of God, when you give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, He is moving in the life of the believer in an extremely powerful and tenacious way to cause you to inherit that which Jesus has accomplished. I mean, there's a jealousy of Almighty God that's moving in you, that is moving in me, that old man and that crucifixion that took place on the cross, that the power of it be implemented into you and into me, and that the death of Jesus be made manifest, so that the life of Jesus may also be made manifest. You know, a lot of times, and this is for another subject, and I will cover it, but you know, the church today doesn't really know a lot about the way of the cross. You know, the only thing that they know of, and a lot of Christians live this way, is that I give my heart to Jesus, and it's all about adding on to me. And, you know, a lot of preachers won't really, to be honest with you, preach anything about the death of Jesus or the cross. But the only way that you can come into resurrection life through the cross is first having that implementing of the power of his death. Now, this is not by your own doing or by your own might. It's by the power of the Holy Spirit. He knows how to put things to death in your life, in your heart, in your deeds, and in your mind. You let him have his way, and he'll bring you through anything and all things. And you don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be afraid. Oh, I'm afraid of what the Holy Spirit will do to me. No, it'll be a joyful experience in Jesus. Now, you may at times feel the dying. I'm just telling you right now that you may at times feel the dying, but I want to tell you, it's worth it all. And this is the way that we walk with the Lord. This is the way that resurrection life, the power of God, even this new self, comes into our life. The Holy Spirit brings about the dying of Jesus that we may also have within us the life of Jesus, as it's spoken in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And so this is the work that the Lord is doing. This is how the Holy Spirit is moving upon you. And this is how all blessings of God will flow into your life. We've got such a gospel today that we've taken away that dying. We've taken away the cross, really, in the life of the believer. It's not only a historical event that Jesus died on a cross, but we're to take up my cross daily. It's what my cross daily in order to follow the Lord. You know, that's just simply yielding to God and letting him have his way. And when you yield to the Lord and let him have his way, you give him what you don't have the power to surrender. I want to say that again. You give to him what you don't have the power to surrender. When you give it to him, he will enact a death within it that only he can accomplish. And then here comes the life of that new self, filling that area in such an unexplainable way that it's only by the power of Almighty God. Well, reading on from there, as we learn from the Lord and we're led by the Spirit of God, verse 21 says, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as truth is in Jesus. Now, here's verse 22, that in reference to Now, look at this part, that in reference to your former manner of life. Everybody say, former manner of life. Huh? That's past tense, isn't it? Right? You know, so isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? Because he had warned us up here in verse 17. Now, you believer, you be careful, because you can end up living a substandard Christian life. You can end up living all the days of your life in the way of the flesh, when all along that you had available to you the way of the Spirit. That you didn't have to be victimized by that old man all of your life, because Jesus won the victory over that old man or that old self, so that you could inherit the new man or the new self in Jesus. And it's all comes about by the doing of the Lord. Now, let's go on from there. A former manner of life. And also, you know, this is the first place of faith for you and I. You know, is that we understand that that old self, that he has no right to me anymore. I don't care how powerful he may appear to be to you as you wrestle with him in your flesh over various and certain issues. This is truth in Jesus, as he's already stated right here. This is the truth. Your experience is not the truth. The word of promise is that which is of the truth. Well, I tell you, you know, it just takes a bold heart. It takes a bold heart. It takes a convinced heart. It may sometimes even take a desperate heart. That's why the Lord will allow us to fall into certain desperations in our life. Because what the Lord is doing is that he is increasing our desire. He's increasing our desire. He's making our inner man actually stronger is what he's actually doing. Because he's bringing about a fervence of cry before the Lord. A hotness that comes by the power of the Holy Spirit that begins to fill your heart. To where before you used to be able to tolerate certain things, that you come with that fire of God in your heart that says, I can't take it anymore. I can't take it anymore. I'm not going to take it anymore. I'm not going to be that way anymore. I'm not going to be victimized with that anymore. This has got to come to an end. The Lord will let that uncomfortableness come into your life, you know, because he's increasing that fire within you to where he can come in with that new self, and he'll remove the darkness of the illegal man. He'll remove all of the darkness of the illegal man, because if any of that old man, which he's there, but you're no longer bound to him. Now it's been given to you and me to walk with the Lord to possess the land. You understand, all of that was not only happened to them, but it's also an Old Testament type and shadow for you and I. And isn't it amazing? He said that he would not remove the wild beast, but a little at a time. And though all of that is very significant to us, because this is the way that it happens to us. Change doesn't come overnight. Change doesn't come overnight. It's a gradual permeating of work that starts with the heart. It begins to flow and begins to affect the thinking of the mind. And then in the midst of all of that, the will is also being affected. And then after the will being affected, then the deeds or behaviors that come out of my flesh. And then I'm changed. The power of that new self is being implemented. And so the way that happens is that seed of that new man is planted when you're born again by the Spirit of God. Now, as you begin to walk with the Lord, then there's a permeating effect that begins to take place. And that illegal man, by the power of God, because he has no right to you anymore, is slowly, little by little, being removed from your life to where the new man of Jesus is being made manifest. This is our destiny. This is what God's doing. If you want to know what God's doing in your life, I just named it. Right there it is. And that all other blessings flow out of that redeeming work that's transpiring by the power of the Holy Spirit as he moves in our life. Now, let me read on from there. And verse 22 again, that in reference to your former manner of life, that you, look here, that you lay aside. That's interesting, isn't it? You lay aside the old self. That you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit. You know, that lust of deceit is that things speak to us in the nature of that old man, and that we think that we have to obey it, or that we do obey it. You know, and he's saying, no, you don't. You know, that's a great revelation right there, that what you're doing and what you've done is a habit, and what you've done that feels like it's a force or a power of nature within you, that the real truth of the matter of the Word of God is that you really don't have to obey it. That's an amazing, that's the lust of deceit. You're deceived in the flesh. Now, you understand that. I'm not talking about deceived over Jesus, but deceived over that thing. Well, you know, I just wrote somebody's dad, wow, I had a bad childhood. You know, you know, well, I've got a strong personality, you know. I've always been like that. I've always been like that, you know. My mother was like that, you know, right? Yeah, are you following me there? You know, I just named you some very common lust of deceit. Right there. Those are very common. And those things, they ingrain themselves within us. The Spirit of God in the new man will remove it. He will remove it. And first thing comes to light, you know, is that, hey, you know, this is not the mind of God. God's word just said to me that that's my former manner of life. That is a starting point right there. Right? That's my former manner. I don't care if I do it 16 times today. That's still, according to the word of the Lord, a part of my former manner of life. And then you begin to attack that area of your life in the power of the Holy Spirit because you've had a faith that is of a convincing nature that has come into your heart. And the manifestation of the new self. He's coming mighty, and he's coming strong, and he's crashing through walls. He's crashing through barriers. There's nothing that can hold the life and the light of the new man back. You may be delayed some. You may battle some. But take confidence of faith that it can't be stopped. It will be made manifested. It will be made manifested. Now, let me read on from there. You know, that you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupt in accordance with the lust of deceit. And then look at verse, and you know you've read these scriptures before many times. Verse 23 says, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind. You know, so there's an enlightenment. We see this many times, that an enlightenment comes, a revelation comes. There's a revealing that is made by the Holy Spirit. You know, the rhema may come, as the Word of God calls the Word, you know, the Logos and the rhema. It may be a part of that, but sometimes it can be great, and sometimes it can be very small. But it's something that of an enlightening nature that the Spirit is bringing about within us to bring us into that new self. Well, let's go on from there, and I'll read on. Verse 24 says, and put on. That's interesting that we said in 22, it said, lay aside the old self. Now, you understand one thing. I've learned one thing. It takes me a long time to learn some things. But one thing I've learned. I've learned that if God tells me that to do something, then I know that he supplies the power for me to be able to do it. I've been frustrated a lot with commands like this. I don't know about you, you know. All right, Lord. I mean, sometimes you gotta argue it out with God. Anybody else in here other than me that have to argue it out with God? You know, I've had to argue it out with God, right? You know, doggone it, Lord. I mean, lay aside. What do you mean lay aside? How in the world are you lay aside? This is all the work of God because it shows that you want it. That you want it. Thus, versus having a ho-hum attitude, you know, and that excusing nature that says, you know, and remains in that lust of deceit. No, there's no mountain, there's no obstacle that the Spirit of God will not remove and manifest the new self. Well, he goes on here, and he says in this in verse 24, and put on the new self. Now, let's look at this description, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. That's the inheritance of that new self. That's the inheritance of the character and the nature and of the Spirit that belongs to you in the Lord Jesus Christ. What does it look like? Well, it looks like righteousness, holiness of the truth, that new self. That's what he's just saying, is the new self. I could break it down further, but for time's sake, I'm not going to do that at this time. Let me just simply say that in verse 24, the action of put on is a faith action. Okay? The word put on, we see it in many places. Listen to this one. This comes from Romans 13, 14. I've used this before. You've heard it. We've looked at it many times. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lust. Well, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And then right here, and verse 24, and put on the new self. Here's what that Greek word is, enduo, E-N-D-U-O. And it means to clothe or to be clothed, to clothe or to be clothed, in the sense of sinking into a garment. You know, and the way that you sink into a garment is you put it on a little at a time. Don't you? Right? It didn't just like, whoosh, I got it on. You know? You pick it up, and you're going to put the sleeve on, you know? And then you're going to put the other sleeve on. You're going to pull it forward, like sinking into a garment. So what the word is trying to tell us is that the implementing of this new man is a permeating work that takes place by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's a permeating work. It's permeating into your being to remove every element of the old self and to implement the power and the life, blessing, and glory of the new self. Now, I want you to turn, if you would. We may come back there if you want to mark it, but I want you to go at this time over to Mark chapter 4, over into Mark chapter 4. And in Mark chapter 4, I want to talk a little bit more about how this works. And I want to talk about one of the great blessings that sometimes I think escapes us. And here's what I see. I see that a real healing that going forth this morning through this word in those that are wrestling particularly with condemnation. And this is one that really the Spirit touched me with. And that is wrestling with alienation, wrestling with feeling like I'm always missing the mark. I want it, but I'm tormented in my heart because I feel like that I'm missing the mark. This healing is going forth for you here today. I want you to see how this works, this permeating work that takes place in the new self. It's revealed here to us in Mark 4, and I'm starting with verse 26. And he was saying, the kingdom of God is like a man who casts seed upon the soil. And so I won't deal with it a lot, but that seed is that the planting of that seed of that new self when you got born again. And then the minute that happened, by the power of the Holy Spirit, it began to take root. And it brought change. It brought a new life. You sensed it. You felt it. But then there's the growing and the establishment of it throughout your whole being. And it's that permeating work, that growing effect that's taking place in the power of the Holy Spirit. It goes on here. Now, let me read this again. And it says in verse 27, and look here. Verse 26, and he was saying the kingdom of God is like a man who casts seed upon the soil. And he goes to bed at night, and he gets up by day, and the seed sprouts up. And isn't this interesting? How himself, he does not know. I want to tell you about one of the great works of the Holy Spirit that I think that sometimes escapes us. You know, and that great work is the wonderful work that the Spirit of the Lord brings of self-awareness. Do you understand that if you're in darkness and in the world, those people don't have self-awareness? They have a deceptive image of what they think they are or how they are, and sometimes they have no awareness of all. That is what is in their heart. And you'll find a young believer will wrestle with that as well at various times. Haven't you ever had this to happen? You know, that somebody says this or that to you, and you say, oh, well, I'm sorry. I didn't realize that I sounded like that. Ever had that to happen to you? You know, how you thought of yourself and what was really taking place were not quite really the same. You may not even think that this is a blessing of God. You may not even be here this morning and be fully aware of this wonderful work that the Holy Spirit is bringing forth. It's called self-awareness. And in self-awareness, you become sensitive and have an inner knowledge of the things about you that in your thoughts, in your feelings, in your behavior, that's easier to discern, but not only in your thought, in your behavior, but your feelings, in your feelings and in your thoughts and in your desires and things that run through your heart, that they're revealed to you by the Holy Spirit even as they're happening. Self-awareness. Isn't that glorious? You know, and let me tell you, here's what's really going on. Now, you've got to be careful with it because the evil one wants to take advantage of it. You know, and the first thing that he'll do is that he wants to bring condemnation to you. You know, that you become aware of things that are not like Jesus that are going on in the sight of me. No one else sees it. No one else may know it. But you see it because it's been made aware of it by the power of the Holy Spirit. If it wasn't the power of the Holy Spirit letting you see it, then you would go right on through it and not even be aware of it all the days of your life. What a glorious work of revealing by the Holy Spirit. But now where you got to be careful is the evil one will try to make a negative of it. He'll try to make a negative of it. What I'm telling you today is that the evil one will try to condemn you over that which the Spirit is revealing to you. And he's not revealing to you just simply that you are aware of it. There's something that he wants from you. There's something that he wants from you. Let me tell you what it is that he wants from you. He wants the simplicity of acknowledgement. The simplicity of acknowledgement. Okay, the acknowledgement of that which was exposed. Are you with me there? You know, I had ill feelings. I got a smile on my face, but you sure don't want to know what I'm thinking right now. You know, right? You know what I'm saying? That's a stark example, but it gets a lot subtler than that, doesn't it? Right? You know, of that which is of self-awareness. This is coming. This is the first point that I want you to hear. It's coming from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is revealing it. The devil wants to get in on it, and then he wants to condemn you over it. Resist him, because there is therefore now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. So then what do we do with that? Oh, here's the other danger. You wonder what the other danger is? And see, this is where the evil one sidetracks you. Number one is he wants to use it as a source of condemnation. All right. Number two is that he wants you to mount up in the struggle of self-effort. That's the second work. You know, that's not what God wants from you. And so then we begin to struggle over this negative that has been revealed in us. And all it does is condemns us more. And then all it does also, it alienates us in our relationship. Oh, we know we have a relationship with the Lord. We're touched by the Lord. But then there's this kind of, down in there. Like this working, this kind of little bit of tormenting within me. Because I feel like I'm missing the mark in some ways. And I don't know how to rectify it. And I don't know how to change it because I see that. And I begin to wrestle with that within itself. But listen. That old man has been defeated, right? All that God wants from you in the midst of that is that you acknowledge the awareness that he has brought to you at that point. Okay, right? What do you mean, acknowledge? It's very simple. Here's how you acknowledge that. You know, sometimes you may open your mouth and speak it. You may pray about it, but sometimes it's taking place in your inner man just between you and God. Okay? You understand what I'm saying by that? Right? It's taking place between you and God. You know, you don't even have to tell anybody about it, but you recognize it. You recognize it. right? That self-awareness. See, in reality, the holier you get, the more that you see about yourself. Right? Oh, I know what being in the Spirit is. Oh, you know, it's being a powerhouse in God. It's being strong, you know, in the Lord. You know, and yes, you're made strong in the Lord, but in you're being made weaker. And we don't know what to do with that a lot. But it's the work of that cross. It's the implementing of that death. Just the awareness and then the acknowledgement, the Spirit of God comes in with the new self. And he kills that old man power that's being manifested in that place. Well, then someone says, well, okay, now, you know, but I keep dealing with it. I keep dealing with it. Sometimes the way of the Spirit now is that he removes it in layers. I don't know how thick your layer is in that place. You may have places where layers are a little bit thinner, right? But you know what? You may have areas that the layers are pretty doggone thick. Right? And so, you know, in the midst of that awareness, okay, and there may be a repeated awareness, but it's not because things are not happening. You know, the awareness is coming, and then the acknowledgement, and then what's happened is a layer is being peeled off. And then when the appropriate time comes the Holy Spirit, and he reveals it again. And the evil one, he's always attacking. And he says, you're not getting anywhere. Nothing's happening. You're not changing. Nothing's taking place. Get you to be discouraged. Get you to be condemned. To get you to move into that struggle of that self-effort power. That's what he's tempting you to do. All God wants by the self-awareness is the acknowledgement. How do you acknowledge? Number one, you acknowledge by humbling yourself before the Lord at that moment and in your inner man agreeing with him. Then there's a second part to acknowledgement. Number one is you humble yourself in agreement. That's not you, Lord. That's not your way. That's not my inheritance in Jesus. Number one. Number two, at the same time that you humble yourself and you make that acknowledgement, you also surrender yourself to be found in the will of God. The will of God. A lot of people think of the will of God as being, well, you know, am I going to be a missionary in Africa? You know, or the will of God, do I surrender to preach? No, not at all. The will of God is according to the Word of God. Am I going to surrender to the will of God in my behavior? Am I going to surrender into the will of God into believing upon the promise that God has made to me? It's the little decision along with the humbling and the humility that the acknowledgement is being made before the Lord in the manifestation of self-awareness. It's one of the most beautiful works of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. And the more that you open your heart, the more self-awareness that comes into your life. But realize it's not the devil, it's God. And the devil wants to take advantage of it. Don't let him. And then I'm going to finish with this, but I want you to see where this all ends up, okay? glory to God. Now, you know, he says right here, look at, it goes on, and I'm going to read 28. It says, this is in Mark 4:28, the soil produces crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, then the mature grain in the head. Remember I said that it is a permeating effect. It's a gradual transforming effect that is taking place in the life of the believer. Here's verse 29. But when the crop permits, he immediately puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. So here you are, and here comes the self-awareness. Here comes the acknowledgement of the manifestation of self-awareness that you give before the Lord, right? And then you keep walking after that way. And then one day, the power of that which had been so powerful is just gone. It don't speak to me anymore. It don't control me the way it used to. Used to, I was off in it before I even knew what I was doing. Right? But you know what? Oh, here comes the jab of temptation. But that power's not in me anymore. Glory to God. You just got the fulfillment of the manifestation of the new self in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I'm going to finish. I got to finish. Look here. Now, so that you understand how this works, come on in verse 30. Just read a few more verses. And he said, how shall we picture the kingdom of God? Or by what parable shall we present it? Verse 31, it is like a mustard seed, which when it's sown upon the soil, though it is smaller, look at this, smaller than all of the seeds that are upon the soil, yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all of the garden plants. And here's what it does. It forms large branches so that the birds of the air can nest under its shade. Now, I know that that quote's coming from Ezekiel 17, verse 23, 24, and talking about all of the various nations of the world coming into the kingdom. But I also think that it means something else right there. It's so delicate in its beginning, isn't it? And you've got all of these weeds up that are so much more powerful in your heart. This lust, this temper, this over here, this over there. And they just seem to be so overwhelming. And then the seed of the new self is the smallest seed in all of the garden of the heart. But it's going to grow. And it's going to be larger than all of the garden plants of your heart. And it's going to grow large branches to where even the birds of the air can land and nest upon it. Because it's so strong that it can bear the weight of anything that seeks to come and overcome it. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to the holy name of the Lord. Kathy, why don't you all come on?